Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Greg Gerhardt, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Father Greg Gerhardt. He is the Vocation Director of Austin Diocese in Texas, and he's written a book called D180, Discernment 180. He's written two books, actually. We're going to do two shows with him, one on a discernment with men for the priesthood, another one for women and for consecrated religious life.
And Father Greg, he has a lot of experience and wisdom with working with men and women and their discernment. So it's an episode you don't want to miss. So we're now going to a reflection with Father Greg.
So what does prayer have to do with vocational discernment, and how might I be able to pray better? Well, vocational discernment is asking the Lord, how do you want me to follow you? And the only one who can answer that question is the Lord himself. And prayer is the way that we listen to the Lord. It's the way we speak to him and share our hearts with him, as well as the way as we receive his heart. So how might I go about praying such that I can hear the Lord calling and follow wherever he leads? The first thing is simply to do it. We could spend so much time about the methods of prayer, Lectio Divina, Ignatian contemplation, but even if you know how to do it, but you don't do it, it's not going to serve that much. The first thing is simply to do it. And when you give that time regularly to the Lord, and I would recommend doing it in the morning. If you wait until the afternoon, well, something might happen and that time that you had planned to give to him is no longer there. But if you do it first thing in the morning and you give him your first fruits, well, already you're setting yourself up to receive from him and to follow where he leads. So doing it regularly, doing it in the morning, and then I would say prayer is just a sharing of one's heart. There is a very simple way of praying called the ARRR prayer. Acknowledge how you feel, relate it to the Lord, receive what he has to give, and then respond. This is what friends do, and prayer is simply friendship with the Lord. They acknowledge how they're doing, they relate it to their friend, they receive from whatever their friend has to share, and then they respond as well. This is how you can pray in a very simple way. Giving him that time every single day in the morning will be a way that you can grow in holiness, a way that you can grow in friendship with him. And the more you are friends with the Lord, the more you'll be able to know what he wants and how he wants you to follow him.
Father Greg, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And we're talking about your book today, D180, Discernment 180, a six-month guide for Catholic women to discern consecrated life. Let's talk about that. Why 6 months?
Sure. So in my experience, part of the discernment of consecrated life includes not being open to romantic relationships, right? We're talking about an undivided heart for the Lord, as St. Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But that's generally a shock to the system for most people. And if it were only 3 months, for example, you might have 1 month of just the shock of getting over not being open to these romantic relationships. You'd have maybe 1 month where you feel calm. And then on that third month, you might think to yourself, well, I've only got 1 month left, so I'm already looking for the next guy that I might want to, pursue afterwards. But 6 months, you have that 1 month to get over the shock, and then you have a really long time to be able to enjoy that intimacy with the Lord, to really focus your heart on him and listen for if he might be calling you to this beautiful relationship with him, which is the consecrated life.
And I love your emphasis about this discernment's really a focus on growing in holiness.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's what I would often tell people, young people that ask me sometimes, well, start praying, right? That's like the bedrock, the absolute baseline.
Holiness is the means and the end. It's why we enter into vocational discernment, and it's how we enter into vocational discernment. Because the whole goal is to be one with the Lord. That's what holiness is. Friendship with him, intimate friendship with him, something that we'll enjoy forever in heaven that we already get to start right now on earth. And vocational discernment is simply asking the question, Lord, how do you want me to be holy? How do you want me to be your friend?
Yeah, discerning his will.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we naturally, we have this experience, encounter with God. What does he want from me?
Right?
Exactly. It's just kind of a natural question. And then the importance of discerning one's vocation, it's this fundamental stance towards God that we're going to have throughout our life, right?
Sure,
that
yes.
It just affects everything.
Right. And I think it's important because of that, not just to stumble into it, right? Mm-hmm. It's very often, I think, that we just kind of stumble into this thing that's going to shape our lives. So why not spend, some time, intentional period of discernment, asking, Lord, how do you want me to be your friend for the rest of my life on earth, rather than just stumbling into whatever vocation we might find ourselves in? If we give him this intentional period of discernment, focusing in growing in holiness as we are right now, he will let us know by his love and mercy the way that he wants us to keep growing in holiness.
And I like your emphasis too on taking some action. I mean, I've heard that expression, God likes to steer a moving ship or
yes.
canoe, right?
Yes.
And you're canoeing, you got to go faster than the river to guide around the rocks, right? And so I've told young people that too, just, go visit someplace, go do something to make it real. And so at the heart of you have six parts you speak about. And one that's so important is the rule of life. Tell us about what would that look like for a young woman?
Absolutely. So the foundation of vocational discernment is prayer and action, right? So that's been out there, and that's not new to anyone. What Discernment 180 does is put those things in one intentional period of discernment so that God can move, right, the canoe that's moving. Mm-hmm. And so the prayer part, the rule of life, includes prayer, sacrament, study, service, and virtue. And so you have a rule of life for 6 months that you're following, which allows you simply to grow in holiness and intimate friendship with the Lord. And then, in those 6 months, you also have these very effective discernment actions. Go on a discernment retreat, you visit a community, you have a spiritual director, and you have a dating fast. This prayer and this action is really through generosity and humility, this disposition that we need to let the Lord speak to us and to follow wherever he leads.
And that spiritual direction part, describe that relationship.
Right. So I think it's so important, just in general, if we want to grow in any skill, this is just the analogy, but we're, the Olympics were going on. If someone wanted to be a great runner, well, they would have a coach who has been there before and is able to give us advice. A spiritual director is even more than that. A spiritual director is able to, from his or her own experience, knowing how the Lord moves in someone's life, able to listen to us, and able to say, this is where the Holy Spirit is at work. This is where it seems that there is another spirit that is at work. Mm. Right? In the book as well, there is a section on the discernment of spirits. It goes into St. Ignatius's rules of how to understand who is the one moving. If it's the Lord, well, I receive and embrace with joy his movements. And it's from the enemy, well, then I reject it and I go back to the Lord. And a spiritual director helps us learn who it is that is speaking and moving.
I know oftentimes when I'm talking to people, it seems like we often just stay at the level of maybe problems they're trying to overcome. What would be some typical problems maybe the person needs, a young person, young woman needs to work on before visiting a community, before, what would some issues there be?
Sure. I think that, a community is a group of women who are centered around this beautiful relationship of intimacy that they have with the Lord. And rather than pursuing vocational discernment as a task that needs to be accomplished or something that I need to do, it's a relationship first that needs to be enjoyed. And so it's not what do I need to do in order that the Lord might love me? Really, that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. So the first thing that needs to be done in a manner of speaking is simply growing in my friendship with Jesus. So, and I don't need to be a religious sister in order to have that intimate friendship with the Lord. Already, as I am right now, through prayer, sacrament, study, service, mm-hmm. and virtue, I can enjoy a beautiful, intimate friendship with the Lord. And I would say enjoying that, embracing that, living that is what should happen first, really before considering, well, is this community the right community for me? Because that community is centered around that friendship with the Lord. So I need to have that first.
Yeah. And maybe too, something, I know it seems like it comes up more and more with candidates and things, are some, our culture can be so damaging and wounding.
Sure.
You know, maybe there's some issues in counseling. I've told people, you know, it's a lot easier to address things before you go into
sure.
a system. Yeah. And so if, you know, you might have time to do some counseling, you might have some time to really work sure. on yourself, maybe sure. get some trauma you need to deal with.
Right. And I would say, you know, the emphasis on the interior life, on prayer and on spiritual direction, one of the fruits that's going to happen is a growth in self-awareness, a growth mm-hmm. in self-knowledge. When you enter into this friendship with the Lord, He's going to help you know yourself, possess yourself so that you can give yourself. Mm-hmm. And sure, counseling might be a tool necessary to go through that process. The first step is always going to be simply enjoying that friendship. And in that way, He will lead me through the process of knowing myself better so that I can possess myself and then give myself in the way that He wants me to. That's ultimately yeah. what a vocation is.
And that's so true. I mean, we work on ourselves the entirety of our life. And I remember in seminary, they were saying how that spiritual formation, that the spirituality drives the whole machine of the yeah. formation of the man into the priesthood. That as we, you know, He's going to lead us maybe to do things. Maybe He'll bring people into our life that can help us be a mentor or help us with certain things. But,
yes, yeah. that's certainly the spiritual formation is mm-hmm. the heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's the heart of, formation to the priesthood, but I would say it's the heart of discipleship. And regardless of whether one is discerning religious life as a woman or priesthood as a man, mm-hmm. The heart of simply discipleship and the life of holiness is that spiritual formation, that spiritual life that one enjoys with the Lord. Right. And it's a heart that doesn't remain just in the chapel on one's knees. It's a heart that really beats and sends them out to give themselves away in love. But without that heart, no one will have the energy, the zeal, and really the capacity to go out and give themselves away in love. They won't have that that real gift that they can give.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with Father Greg Gerhardt, so don't go away. Father Greg, you've written two books. You know, we're talking about the book on for women, How to mm-hmm. Discern Consecrated Life. How would you describe that fundamental vocation calling of yeah. women?
Yeah, I would say before we speak about a community that does this or that, the fundamental calling of consecrated life is being a bride of Christ. Right? In heaven, there will be no one married or given in marriage. In heaven, it will be the wedding feast of the Lamb. He's the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And consecrated life is a participation in that life of heaven already now on earth. And the consecrated sister is a bride of Christ. That's really what the vocation of consecrated life is.
Right. And some communities, it seems like especially, well, I guess both, you know, wear a wedding ring, a woman would wear right. just a sign of that spousal union, that nuptial union. And I think too, you know, with so much discussion today about women, their calling, and just like women as a whole, I think they call the image of the church as
absolutely.
Bride.
Absolutely.
You image this holiness and union with our Lord.
I love, I got to go to seminary in Rome, and my family visited me a couple of times, and a lot of consecrated women in Rome, and we'd be walking the streets, and I would pass by, and the sister and I would nod at each other and smile, and my brother said, it's like y'all are in a club or something. And what I would say to him is like, yeah, I mean, I guess reflecting upon it, what I realize is, you know him too. You know the one that I love, right? In heaven, he is the bridegroom. We as the church are the bride, and the religious sister, the consecrated sister, is his bride already now on earth. And when I see a religious sister, when I see a consecrated woman, I see an image of heaven, the church in splendor, what we are all seeking when yeah. we'll be perfectly united with our Lord.
Yeah, I think it's a special gift of beauty that women have. And I think John Paul II described in Letter to Women, they have the the most loftiest of virtues, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
They're quicker to faith, they're quicker to love,
yes,
primacy,
yes,
there of love. But so that is so radically important. We can't say enough about that, just to humanize the world today. I know probably young women might be watching this and they say, okay, that's great. How do I pick a community?
Okay, it's a great question. Well, you know, what I think the person can ask, the young woman can ask is, well, with which sisters do I want to grow in holiness? With which sisters do I want to grow and live out my spousal union with Christ? So there are a couple of categories of communities that would be important, at least to have an initial direction, right? Am I going to be, you know, devoting my life to the contemplative life, devoting my life primarily to prayer? Or am I going to be devoting my life primarily to the active life of serving others? Now, no matter which community you find yourself in and which type of life you dedicate yourself to, there's going to be this primacy of this spousal union, which requires a life of prayer. But the contemplative life, they focus much more of their day on prayer, and the active life is going to focus much more of their day on serving others. So that would be the first category to really ask. And then from there, you can, you know, find, whether it be online or the communities that happen to be around you in God's providence that He's placed around you, let me visit the communities and see if God may in fact want me to grow in holiness and in this divine spousal union with these sisters.
I think that is so key, to take action again, to visit, because I think too, you just find out, where do you feel comfortable?
Right.
You know,
right.
What I described when I came here, it was like, I just felt like I fit like a glove,
you know,
my spirituality and everything. And I got to say this, I've told this story before, but I was in seminary. I was kind of struggling with my vocation. Is this really for me as a priest? And I was listening to Life on the Rock on the radio with Jeff Cavins, and he was interviewing a Dominican sister. I just forgot her name, but, he asked her that question, how do you know? And she said with this Tennessee drawl, you know, oh, Jeff, I just think you know, right?
Yeah.
There's something in our heart that we kind of know. I think maybe one thing that helped me too in Vice was Thomas DeBay talked about either you feel drawn to it naturally, yeah, which wasn't the case for me, or you maybe have more of this sense of this, yeah, is God's calling for,
yes,
me.
Yes, absolutely. You know? It fits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, St. Ignatius, this is in the book as well, he speaks about three times to make an election. He says, well, there might be a case of someone who has an extraordinary experience of grace and it leaves them with no doubt.
Yeah.
Think of St. Paul, think of St. Matthew, mm-hmm, right? And it doesn't happen just a long time ago. It happens even today as well. There might be an extraordinary experience of grace that leaves you with no doubt. Or it might be over an extended period of time in prayer through the discernment of spirits, consolation and desolation. One recognizes that God is leading her to this route rather than this route. But the third one is simply, well, let me look at the options that are before me. Let me evaluate them according to this criterion, which will give God the greatest glory. And so in knowing myself and in knowing God, I'm able to discern in a very simple but profound and beautiful way, how am I going to live my life in a way that will give Him the most glory? The certainty that we want, it's not going to be most likely a mathematical certainty. It's going to be the certainty of a relationship, right? Yeah. How do I know that this is the one that I'm going to marry? Well, it's not going to be, you know, the result of a mathematical problem. It's going to be the result of getting to know someone. And there will always be a bit of a risk, right? A step out in faith. But when we are talking about stepping out in faith with the Lord, well, we know that there is no risk, right? Because He's more than worth anything.
Yeah. That's a great point about, our motive is to glorify God. And I know this isn't official teaching, but I remember one time Father Pablo Straub on a retreat told us, he said, you know, maybe you don't have a vocation. And he said, well, pray to God and say, give me a vocation of maybe one person threw it away. They didn't want it. Give me that.
That's great.
Because it was great because he said, this is so great, such a great thing to do with your life.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was trying to make that point for us.
Yeah, in Matthew 19, you know, Jesus says, anyone who has given up mother or father, brother or sister, children or lands for my sake will receive 100 times more now in this present life and eternal life in the world that will come. I haven't had to wait until heaven for it to be worth it. It's a real gift. Again, we kind of think that God calls someone to consecrated life or the priesthood, like taking one for the team, a sacrifice that's going to be good for others, but not good for you. But the Lord wants nothing from us. He wants everything for us. And if he's calling a young woman to the consecrated life, it's because that's the way he wants to give her life to the full, and nothing less will satisfy her heart. So it's an incredible gift and an incredible life that really already now I have received so much more than anything that I have given up.
Yeah. And we just have like a minute and a half left. On that discernment part, looking consolation, distinguishing that just from emotional, that must come up with young women especially.
Sure, sure. So those rules of discernment that St. Ignatius gives, this would be a great starting point to recognize, well, who is the one moving, right? I have thoughts, I have feelings, I have desires, but are these coming simply from my own natural affections? Are they coming from the enemy, or are they coming from the Lord? And he gives us these rules in the discernment of spirits to help us recognize who is the one speaking and moving, and what actions should I take based upon who is the one speaking or moving. If it's from the Lord, I embrace it. If it's from the enemy, I reject it.
Yeah, I think we can make a distinction that consolation is drawing us up to God, that it's some experience of God or his peace. It's like bigger than emotions.
Right, because someone can, of course, have pleasant emotions that have nothing to do with the spiritual life whatsoever. So there is certainly a difference.
Yeah. Father Greg, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on.
I enjoyed my conversation with Father Greg, and that sister was a Mary Mother, the Eucharist Dominican sister. She was a Sister Joseph Mary Andrew, that she is from Tennessee, and she talked about, you know, knowing in our hearts that God is calling us, and that was so key. I know you thought it was a good point about the fittingness that we
might
feel.
Yeah, I think just a practical tip. Mm-hmm. Not to overlook, but a lot of times we can be thinking about a different religious community. And again, there's different communities ordered to kind of different ways of praying to maybe the work they do. But I think it's very key to go and visit the community, go on the retreat, spend some time with the community, get to know the members. And I think you said it, you know, when you were discerning here, and I felt the same way. It's like all of a sudden your discernment, it's like a glove that fits perfectly on a hand.
Right.
And I think, you know, you kind of look at what is drawing you to this way of life, whether that's their prayer or their work, maybe the community itself, their members, mm-hmm. Because those are all kind of working together, and it's giving us kind of that maybe sense of identity that we're looking mm-hmm. for, our purpose. So I think those are key things that maybe God is nudging us towards that we need to kind of pay attention to. And but again, a person can be just kind of stuck. We can think about it, but never really act upon it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, to test the waters, to take some kind of action, take some kind of step. That's usually what I tell young people, to just to get the boat ship moving.
Right.
And we can have that paralysis of analysis. And two, you know, it might be different things about a community. It might be their apostle. It might be their prayer life, their spirituality that really... You know, so it could be a different factors mm-hmm. in there. It might be the members of the community that really inspire you, but to test the waters, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think once that momentum gets going, it goes.
Yeah.
A lot of times, things will just start to fall into place very clearly, I think.
Yeah. And sometimes, it's hard to see this earlier on, but over the years, you see how God kind of use certain themes in your life mm-hmm. to speak to you.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to recognize that still small voice and take that prayer in your heart. You know, that to prayer is really allowing God to enter into our hearts. You know, so our personal prayer, just to have that, in a sense, boldness, that faith to let him in, to guide you and to direct you. So we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he send his Holy Spirit to guide you, help you to discern your vocation in life. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
My life is in your hands. You're my can't see, and you've gone before me, and I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith. The future is a mystery forever will you.